How you doing? Welcome back. What a great month this has been. It's been Pride Month, and we've been talking around here that the idea behind a month like this is one that we want to, I think what has emerged from some of the conversations we've had around this is that things that matter to us should matter not just in the months that we're supposed to remember them, but they should matter to us all the time. This idea of a pride in being allies with and standing alongside marginalized voices is not just something that we want to do during a month when it is designated, but it's something that should drive our behavior and our actions. To that end, you may see more rainbows around here, so I hope you like bright colors. We want to continue to explore what it means to be engaged in this topic, and not just around months like this. Last week, Dr. Joseph reminded us in a great talk that love is not always a popular movement, that line from James Baldwin. We are assured that this movement that we are in around months like this is a movement that is going to come with many great advancements, but with every advancement, with every bit of ground taken back, there are sometimes setbacks. And that's how life is, isn't it? It comes and it goes. And we want to kind of look at and explore this idea here for a little bit around this theme of unfolding, about surrendering to the flow of life. We were talking a little bit in pre-talk about this, and I liked it because not everybody kind of agreed around this topic or saw it the same way, which is a great place to start with a topic. If we're only talking about the things that we all see the same way, we're in a silo. We should be challenging one another's, stretching one another, and hopefully seeing things in a different way. Learning to surrender to life's flow. What does that mean when we say that life has a flow? We used examples in pre-talk, you know, of a river that flows or meander. Water flows. Some of you may feel that life for you can sometimes feel like a gentle, quiet, meandering stream, and other times it can feel like a fire hose is just like knocking you down, right? What does it look like to surrender to the flow of life? In the 1992 NBA championship, there was an upstart who had not made his mark quite yet, but in one particular evening, playing against the Portland Trail Blazers, the Chicago Bulls were struggling, and the Trail Blazers were ahead. Phil Jackson called a timeout and had a little conversation with his team, and specifically with one player, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan emerged from that timeout with an intense concentration. Some of you know and remember this game. He would go on in the next 18 minutes to hit 6 3-pointers. And after one, if you have watched the video of this online, after 1 3-pointer shot, he's kind of jogging and he kind of does this shrug to the sidelines, like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. This is incredible, right? And they went on to win that game, and he described it later on as being in the zone. And within sports theory, there is this philosophy, this zone that people talk about. A flow state is a concept in both sports and work that talks about a certain state that you can achieve where you almost get better by trying less. You focus less on what you're doing, and you kind of go with the flow of what it is. Now, this, of course, doesn't come without work. Now, the only reason that Michael Jordan could shoot all those three-pointers is because he had put in the work. There's the idea around the 10,000 hours of work, and whether or not it's thousands of hours or not, there is time and intentionality that goes into growth. But if you've ever learned anything new, you know that every new thing starts with this learning curve where the first time that you're doing it, it feels so awkward and so uncomfortable. I had a friend last year who was into disc golf. Any disc golfers here in the room? That's a popular sport. Oh, not many. Okay. A couple. I was new to it myself, and I mistakenly thought, oh, yes, I've thrown a frisbee on the beach. I can throw a frisbee against a thing like that, and this should be easy. My first indication that this was different is when he showed up with a backpack with not just one frisbee, but dozens of different frisbees. And then he was trying to explain the numbers and the distance and all these different things. So already I was feeling intimidated. And I got up to the first tee to throw off. And I was the last one to go. I'm trying to observe. And he comes up and he throws it. And it's a beautiful throw. Nice, long, straight. And then the other guy that we were with there, he throws it too. Beautiful throw. And so I come up, and now I'm nervous because I've been kind of doing some practice beforehand, but it's like my first real throw. And so I am really concentrating, and I just chuck it as hard as I can and was like humiliated to see it just kind of do this number, right? Like theirs were like so far. I had to like throw two or three times just to catch up to them. So I'm like, okay, there's more than just a simple throw. So they're coaching me as I go, and they're telling me all the different things to remember. So stand like this. You know, you should kind of do a flick and a twist with your wrist. There should be like this kind of a motion. Think like a whip. Stand with this foot here, and then you want to land like this, and you want to kind of twist. And the more they're telling me, the more I'm trying to remember in my head all these details. And each time I got up, I was doing worse because I'm trying to focus on all the things to do, and you know that you can't succeed by thinking about all the different things that you need to do. When athletes step into the ring, into the courts, onto the field, the ones that we admire, the ones who make it look effortless, are the ones who have put in the time, put in the work, but they've gotten to the point in their career where for them, there is a flow state that they achieve. There is a surrender to the process. And some of the best games that we watch, some of the most incredible athletic achievements, whether in the Olympics, in other sports, those moments that capture our attention and take our breath away, many times, after the event, the athlete talks about being in this incredible state of surrender, of being almost above the action, almost witnessing it as if they weren't themselves doing it, of like having a muscle memory. And you know what this feels like, that muscle memory. When you do something enough that your body takes over. And the first time that you achieve that doing something new, it's a pretty incredible feeling. I spent some time a few years back doing CrossFit. I had a friend who had a CrossFit gym, and he was a great instructor, and same thing, would give lots of really, really good cues. So something as simple as a clean and jerk, standing down, coming up, bringing it up there, and holding that bar, and then doing it with increasingly greater amounts of weight. He would start me at lower amounts, and we would work on these techniques, and we'd do it over and over and over. And then we would take and even bring the weights off, and then we would do just a simple trainer bar and do these movements over and over. And you do these things that you feel incredibly stupid doing because you're holding an empty bar, and you're trying to do these movements over and over, and you're doing these steps until you can get to the point. And it took months and months and months of trying. But the first time I remember that I did a clean and jerk, that I didn't have to think about all of the different placements of my legs, about how much bend was in my knees, about how fast I was coming up, I realized after it happened that it just flowed. It just happened, seemingly of its own intent. What does it look like for us to live our lives flowing with life? Does life have a flow? Does life have an intention? My daughters grew up in the era, you can kind of mark your kids by the movies that they watched over and over and over that you can probably now quote. For us, with my girls, Finding Nemo was the big movie. I think it came out in 2003. Anybody seen Finding Nemo there, right? It's a great, great movie. I love Finding Nemo. And one of my favorite, I had a couple favorite characters in there. I loved Bruce the Shark. He was one of my favorites. And I have a friend, Bruce, and in my phone, I have a picture of Bruce the Shark as his contact. But the other character that I love from that movie is Crush. You remember the sea turtle Crush? The little Australian surfer guy, and when they wake up from this encounter with the jellies, Crush is there, and he's trying to tell them that you just need to go with the flow, dude. You're on the East Australian Current. It's the EOC, man, the EAC. We're just going with the flow. And Nemo, as they're trying to, and as they're trying to find his son, they're in this process of going on these currents, these travels in the ocean. And there is this process of flowing with life where as you go, you're unfolding with each new adventure. And an unfolding life is a life that pays less attention to the need to move something forward of our own design than the total expression of that life. An unfolding life is aware of the whole at all times and trusts life to bring forth the moments and the experiences that facilitate the blossoming of the petals. When left to its own device, life unfolds. We are reminded of that. If you've ever spent some time away from friends or family, and you go and you connect back and you realize that life has kept moving while you were not there. And perhaps the first time you realized that, it was a little bit of a challenging assumption to realize that life proceeds even in your absence, that things move on and that life unfolds. It emerges, it evolves, and we are a process in that part. I like probably within the plant kingdom, one of the best examples of that is the fern. And hopefully anybody who wants to this afternoon, we're going to be doing our walk and talk where we're going to be discussing kind of this topic while we're going to Coast Guard Park. And we did a pre-walk earlier this week where we walked it, and I saw so many ferns. And I'm excited for us to see that in there because ferns are one of those plants that when they emerge from the ground are so curled up, and there's this spiral. And watching ferns unfurl when they emerge is one of the most magical things. As you see this spiral that begins to unwind and begin to open, surrendering to the flow of life. Now, some of us who grew up within a Christian context may have heard the expression, let go and let God. There is this idea within the Christian mindset that surrender is a passive process in which we trust the Creator God who has a plan for our lives, and we trust the unfolding of that plan. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. I grew up with this kind of an idea where surrender to me was not surrender to life, it was surrender to a being. It was surrender to a God who had a plan. And every time that things would not go according to plan, I would have to trust that God saw things differently than I saw things. One of the verses that has been used so many times in so many different ways out of context is that verse that is, the heavens are higher than the earth. God says, so are my ways higher than your ways, which is kind of crap when you think about it, because a person who is going through cancer and the loss of a friend or a loved one, being told that God is just seeing things differently and that you just need to see things the way that God sees things and that if you back off, you'll see there's a bigger plan or picture. Well, no, sometimes life is full of difficulties. As a matter of fact, life is full of difficulties. It is the only thing that we are assured of, but we get to choose how we respond to the unfolding of life. So what does surrender look like? It's the difference between thinking about every note you're going to play and then just playing. It's the effortless ease with which an artist like Molly and her husband can play so beautifully without having to think through the chords and the notes and every detail. The artistry that emerges from a surrendered life is beautiful to watch. It's Michael Jordan effortlessly shooting three-pointer after three-pointer because he's in the zone. He is in the flow state. We're going to be taking in these coming months and unpacking some of these ideas around our values. We're a values-driven community here. And so part of my process here in becoming a new teacher is to add my take and my input on some of these values and to work them into upcoming talks. So this morning, if you saw when you came in there, we had one of the values on the screen, and I'm going to read it to you. This is our value called well-being. We believe and promote, and on the website it says this, and I love this wording. It says that our community at C3 evolves and grows by, and then proceeds to list the ways that happens. We recognize that as a community, a 150-year-old former church that has evolved and growed and changed, that it is constantly becoming something different than it was. And yet it's the same. Well-being means that we promote the wholeness and the wellness of mind, body, and spirit, recognizing our self-responsibility, our interrelatedness, and our interdependence. This idea of participating with the flow of life, even as we are a part of it ourselves. An unfolding life is open, it's spacious, and it's highly self-aware. It's not simply just a passive acceptance of life as it is and throwing our hands up as if there is no control, but it's a recognition that life is emerging, evolving, unfolding. And we can fight it, we can resist it, or we can lean into it. We can go with the flow of life, not in a passive way of surrendering all control. But sometimes surrendering to the flow of life can be one of the most courageous, most difficult things that you can do. To surrender and give up our control, and to recognize that there are things happening outside of our control. I first read a book back in 2022, and it was a powerful book. It was impactful to me. The book is referenced in your bulletin, and the quote is one we're going to read from this morning by Michael Singer. Some of you may have read his book, Untethered Soul, which is a great book. His book, The Surrender Experiment, is kind of part memoir, and it tells the story of a simple experiment that he undertook in life. And his story is quite fascinating. It's a book that you don't necessarily have to read to get the idea, because this simple concept could be stated pretty easily. You see, Michael found that for himself, as a person who practiced meditation and as a person who learned to be open to life, that there was a way of being in the world in which you could actively accept the unfolding of life as it comes, instead of trying to conform life into what we want it to be. And that's a very important differentiation, because we have life coming at us all the time. We exist in time, with time coming and events happening, and we can sometimes see ourselves as a passive, inactive participant in the flow of life. But recognizing the flow can be subtle, it can be powerful. It's the sailor who looks to the sky and looks to the water and reads the flow of the wind and orients his vessel in a way to capture the wind and to move through the storm. It's a way of orienting ourselves so that we can participate in the flow instead of trying to fight the flow, instead of trying to create our own flow of life as we wish it to be. So Michael Singer found that as his logical mind became quieter, his intuitive mind grew stronger, and his solutions became self-evident. And solutions, he found, always came when he needed them, and he would surrender to the circumstances. And the question he asked is, what would happen to me if I just inwardly surrendered my resistance and let the flow of life be in charge? Now, that sounds on the surface. The first time I had a friend recommend this book, I went into it very skeptical because it sounds kind of like one of those woo-woo, just like go with the flow and the universe is in charge. And we know those people, right, you know, who are kind of a little bit disconnected from reality and you're like, good for you. I'm so glad you can have that attitude. But like, you need to do some things here. But this is a more active participatory process than just passively surrendering. And what he found is that there was a way of orienting your life where you could be open to the unfolding nature of things and circumstances and people with an openness of mind and heart. This is the quote that's in the bulletin. He said, "My formula for success was very simple. Do whatever is put in front of you with all your heart and soul without regard for personal results. Do the work as if it were given to you by the universe itself, because it was." He went on to say, "Surrender taught me to willingly participate in life's dance with a quiet mind and an open heart." Can you see what I'm talking about here, about this not being a passive, laid-back approach to this is life, I guess this is just the way it is. This fatalistic surrender as opposed to an active participation in life. An active engagement. Surrender to the flow of life means that we orient our world view. We orient our lives in such a way that we can be prepared to accept all of the joys and all of the sadness that life brings. We move through life with the sails of our vessel wide open. And that means that sometimes the winds of life are going to blow us along in blissful journeys of love and peace, and it feels like everything is going right. And in those times, we talk often about going with the flow of life because that's when it's fun. Like, man, it just seems like so many good things are happening right now, and it just feels like life is hopping. And life is good, and I'm excited. And oftentimes, it feels that way in the spring, and it feels that way in the summer. And in our lives and in our seasons, we know what it feels like when life is just flowing. And we're in the groove, we're in the zone, and we're participating. But then, as we heard last week, sometimes love is not always a popular movement. And sometimes love doesn't always win. What does it look like to participate in the flow of life when we are surrounded by trials and challenges? Remember this poem? I shared this back in January in one of my first talks here. Kent shared it a couple weeks ago as well. This is Rumi's Guest House. This is a favorite of mine. And he talked about, Rumi said that this being human is a guest house and that each morning is a new arrival, a joy, a sorrow, a meanness, some momentary gladness that comes in, and that all of these guests are to be welcomed in. So what does surrender to life's flow look like? Kent said this in the idea of the mystical. It's a way of orienting our world that we are open to the mystery, the wonder. This surrender is a process of openness. It is opening the doors of our house and opening our windows and saying, come on in. Whether we want it or not, whether we think that it is what we had in mind or not, especially if it is not what we had in mind. Surrendering to the flow of life and recognizing that there is a process, there is a dance that we can join. There is a way that we can orient our way of being in this world to participate in the flow of life instead of fighting it. This openness to life is something that I don't want to simply just talk about. This is something that has emerged from my own life. I would say especially in the last 3 or 4 years, Lisa and I have had this lesson, I want to say drilled into our heads over and over and over, which is sometimes what it feels like life does. This process of not knowing where to go, this surrendering to the unknown of life can feel scary. When we think that there's more that we can do, but we've done all that we know to do. We've laid all the groundwork we can lay. We've prepared everything we could prepare. We've done all that we can do. And now all that's left to do is just to wait, to surrender to the flow, to see what emerges. I like to, because I think of things through my creative lens, I love movies and storytelling through visual mediums, and so I think a lot of times about life in that way. And I like to think that when it comes to challenges in my life and in the last couple of years, Lisa and I have kind of used the language before that maybe that character just hasn't been written in the story yet. There are shows that I love that have pivotal characters that come in crucial moments and that move the story forward. And in life, we are both participants in the story and we are the authors of the story. We get to write the outcome and participate, but maybe the characters haven't all been written in yet. Maybe that next chapter is coming, and this joy that you're experiencing is about to turn into a tumult of catastrophe and confusion as some new guest arrives and turns your house upside down. But Rumi said, welcome and entertain them all. Because perhaps they have been sent as a guide from beyond. This openness to the flow of life is what we want to spend some time with here in the next month as we explore what it means to orient our world, orient our lives to participate in this flow, to cooperate with life's grand unfolding by allowing our lives to unfold within it. So when we wrap up here and as we're going into our week and our walk, I want to just take this idea as we're kicking off this concept and asking, what is it that's happening in your life? What needs to come out? What wants to happen? What are you denying? What are you allowing? What are the areas that we can surrender and experience the flow of life? What are the things that have yet to emerge? Thank you for sharing your time and this planet with me. May we, moving forward, learn to surrender our lives together and surrender as a community to the flow of life as it emerges. Thank you. Namaste.